Welcome, everyone, to the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship podcast recorded by the Anchor app tonight from the commissioner's basement. I am pleased to tell you that live in the flesh, sitting across from me, is our 2011 champion, Justin McCourt. When I move, you move, who has returned to fantasy drafting and is leading the way in our slow drafts that kicked off our league. Also joining us across the table, probably one of the most controversial figures ever to play in the KFFFC, a beloved personality of the commish, but a guy that seems to create animus with everyone he meets, none other than Robbie Fetcher. Gentlemen, how are you tonight? And welcome back here as we have just what, something like 30... less than 30 days before we all gather live and start drafting. Bet you doing okay?
We're about 21, 22 days, aren't we?
I tell you, the closer it gets to single digits, the more I realize that I have not done. You guys will be excited to know that both your names are amongst the trophies that we will be distributing this year. And we've broken through the $10,000 mark of trophy costs this year. Like everything else, it's going up. Justin McCourt, it's been 10 years, 11 years now since your championship run. Are you ready to do something about that,
Bob? I'm ready to celebrate the anniversary with another championship.
Yeah. Our 20th annual KFFSC draft this year with $25,000 grand prize. I'm so glad that we were able to put the pressure on the FFPC where they could move their contest to a million. And speaking of that, Fetch, you'll be continuing here in Louisville holding down the fort. Justin will join all drafters at the FFPC this year. 40 days, Justin, until we until we hit Las Vegas.
Yes, I have not attended the draft live in 5 years, so I'm excited to get back out there.
Las Vegas is so excited to see you that they're having the downpours out there. I think it has 40 days of rain straight for Justin McCourt.
I mean, and this is the 40th straight podcast where you brought up the weather in the first 5 minutes.
Normally, that's the Appleton, Wisconsin forecast.
Everything's good. Everything's good in Appleton. Balky and I have had a lot of podcasts this week. By the way, I did the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour earlier tonight and did 6 hours of pros versus Joes. And I came to the conclusion after 6 hours of draft evaluation that the pros are pros and names only, and the Joes are ready to win the championship. So I would love, I'm hopeful that some of our KFFSC, FFPC players will be amongst the Joes as we go forward. Let's talk, with figuring out a format for what we want to talk about on this show is always up in the air. But I think we've been most successful covering all players, making sure that we do what is needed to do across the league was when we take one division and go through it. The most compelling division for me this year is the AFC West. Justin, do you have a favorite?
No, and I'd like to note that we have never once made it through all of the divisions.
Yeah, we're going to try. We're going to try this year. But you do not have a – don't have a favorite division?
Maybe no, I don't have a favorite team. I don't have a favorite division.
No favorite division. Fetch, your favorite division this year?
My favorite division this year has to be the AFC East.
Well, let's start with the AFC East, Fetch, because that's your favorite. Let's go first to probably the one that's the most difficult to talk about. Let's go to the New York Jets. The New York Jets return a second-year quarterback that, Fetch, we used to stay up late on the weekends and watch at BYU, where he was a fantastic downfield thrower, accurate passer. He came to the NFL. He threw for 9 touchdowns and a lot of interceptions last year. Mr. Zach Wilson, he's going to be enhanced this year. Another Wilson, Garrett Wilson, joins him through the rookie draft. He gets a high profile, the number one running back drafted in Breece Hall. He gets a Corey Davis returning from injury, as well as Elijah Moore. Where's the draft value? All of these players that I mentioned, with the exception probably of Davis and the quarterback, are being drafted pretty highly. your thoughts on one favorite Jet that you want to talk about.
It's got to be Elijah Moore. I mean, he had a great end of the season last year. I think we're starting to see them build the other parts of their team. You know, George Fant's coming in to be the left tackle. That allows him to move Mekhi Becton, who's been a little bit of a question mark for them. He hadn't lived up to the expectation. I think they move him over to the right. Maybe he can concentrate on run blocking, not worry about that blind side as much. You know, we could make all the jokes about Zach Wilson maturing and going after mature women. But
what? What's he talking about?
He's trying to be like Jim McMahon. He's trying to be the rebel, you know. He's showing that leadership. But so much young talent here. I think there's a lot. Garrett Wilson, Bryce Hall, Michael Carter from last year.
I just named all the players. So let's focus. Talk to me then about the backfield. Hall and Carter. Is Carter still a valuable pick in the 11th and 12th round where he's going?
I definitely think so. I picked him up at least once or twice this summer. I think you're going to get the passing game in him. Always the guy that's been around a year or two has a better chance of picking up the pass pro set.
Picking up the pass pro set. Say that a few times, Justin. Hey, so let me ask you this. 400 to 500 carries in this backfield. You got that much? Or with a slinger like Wilson? Or do you think this is a very big pass-first offense? And with that considered, Corey Davis returns healthy. Is Corey Davis, who's virtually free and is gone, Justin will confirm this, undrafted. I'll throw this to Justin. Is Corey Davis a worthwhile late stab as a starting receiver in this offense? If you like the quarterback as much as Fetch does, the answer may be yes.
Yeah, I mean, Corey Davis he went in the 16th round of our first slow draft, and we're currently in the 14th round of the other one. I think if he hasn't been off the board yet, it will be soon.
Okay. So Davis is being drafted. Justin, the one position that the Jets cannot seem to get right, besides spending first-round draft capital on Mekhi Becton to now have a right tackle, is the tight end position. C.J. Uzomah is a fantastic athlete. He's a guy that brings skills that should translate into fantasy football points, but it never did happen at Cincinnati, at least on a regular basis. What's going to happen with this player in New York?
Well, he's currently injured, so
he moved off the PUP today.
And the early reports were that Tyler Conklin from previously of Minnesota is now there and has a great rapport with Zach Wilson. I don't like either of these tight ends enough to draft one of them because I don't think one of them is going to get enough work to be, you know, starter worthy. Maybe a bye week fill in, just like he was in Cincinnati. And on occasion, you know, in those shootout games, Burrow would toss a touchdown to Uzomah and you have a nice day. But I don't think there's enough there to depend on right now. And other drafters think the same. And we have not seen him drafted, either of these tight ends drafted outside of deep best ball rosters.
I think when we move across the division, they have to play Miami twice, Buffalo twice, and New England twice. Sounds like a 1-5 offering for the Jets for me because I'm much higher on these other teams. I'll give them a chance to beat somebody at home, but I don't know who it is, and I don't particularly expect it to be Miami. You know, a quarterback that was had high expectations last year gets more weapons this year. I think fantasy drafters were somewhat burned on Tua last year, drafted as a college name. I think it could be a good backup quarterback. There are some mysteries in the backfield that haven't been settled. But guys, Waddle and Hill, I want to start with you, Justin. I don't think it matters which one catches the most balls because I think each of them could push 100 as the total. Each of them could go over 1,000 yards. I think this team to be successful has to count on that kind of productivity. Your thoughts on these two receivers drafted probably 1.5 rounds apart would be my guess.
Yeah, this reminds us of the days of the Vikings with Diggs and Thielen.
Yeah.
You know, both these players in Miami are being drafted right around the same spot. And honestly, I think I like Waddle's price a little better. Mm-hmm. He's slightly cheaper than Hill, and he's already shown us that he can be successful with this quarterback. Now, there's absolutely no reason to doubt Tyreek Hill's ability. Mm-hmm. but Waddle's a little cheaper, and I've seen him do it before. I think we can all agree that it's terrible news for Mike Gesicki.
I disagree.
Okay.
Well, disagree. All.
Someone has to be wrong on every point. Yeah, so that's fine. True.
Well, now, yeah, I think where I know where Fetch is going with this, Fetch, enough balls in the air there to get Gesicki his 70 catches, and is he still elevated as one of the number one red zone targets?
Yeah, I'm putting him at 65 receptions. That's what I'm looking for from him. But I'm looking for double-digit touchdowns. He became a very, very big target in the red zone for Tua last year, kind of a blanket. Neither Waddle or Tyreek are your prototypical big wide receivers. No. They're a speed guy. Who do you want in that red zone? Somebody can post up when it's tight coverage. They can go up and win a physical battle, and I think he's going to trust Gesicki to do that.
I agree. Gesicki will have more touchdowns than last year, but I don't think he gets to your reception total. And I think there's a fair chance that the running back position is going to catch more balls than this tight end will.
I wonder who that running back is going to be.
It's without question Chase Edmonds.
Yeah?
Without question?
Without question.
Even with Farrell's must-start guy in the backfield?
Who is also still on PUP, I think, or did he just come off?
No, I think he's up.
Okay, well, that, and then they brought in Sony Michel, which shows you how much they like Miles Gaskin, that they brought in three other running backs. It's a crowded backfield, but I think we know who's going to catch the balls, and that's Edmonds.
A crowded backfield of guys that have all flashed an excellent skill set from time to time. You know, Fetch, moving to your assessment of your tight end Gesicki, it's not the receivers so much that concern me there. It's when they get in the red zone, what they do in the 21 formations. They put these other tight ends on the field, and I'll see someone catch a touchdown or someone be targeted in the end zone. And I'll say, oh, it's Gesicki. No, that's the other guy. You know, and it always seems like Gesicki does the dirty work between the 20s, and they roll these other guys off the bench with the 21 personnel. You would think that there are no other receivers on this team, other than what we're dealing with Waddle and Hill. Can you guys mention another receiver?
Didn't they get Wilson from the Cowboys, Cedric Wilson?
Yes, they did.
Okay, so that's the only other one I know right now.
Well, you know, one of Fetch's favorite, Preston Williams, is still a player. Of course, you're right. And one of my favorites when he was with the 49ers. Not expected to be a fantasy player, but you could see him flash as that kid Sheffield, which I like. A bigger target around the goal line. Fellas, in our format, in the KFFSC, I kind of like the Miami defense. What do you think, Pitch?
Love the Miami defense. They've played well under Brian Flores. You got a new coach, but I think the talent, they've really improved the talent down there over the last couple of years. Got rid of Minka Fitzpatrick a couple years ago to bring in more draft picks. But I definitely think they're a good, solid play.
Would either of you guys be comfortable foregoing quarterback, adding Tua in the double-digit rounds and saying, this is my quarterback for the year? Could you, if you wanted to load up, if you believed in the other position's talent, throughout the draft, that you wanted to keep stacking those receivers, those running backs, those tight ends, could you live with Tua, Justin, you first?
I'm only going to draft one quarterback.
That's
and so if I'm comfortable, if I like the value I'm getting at the other positions where I'm looking and saying, oh, I could get Stafford here or Aaron Rodgers, I've waited for a quarterback, but somebody has dropped who I feel presents value, then yeah, I don't mind waiting. But I don't feel confident enough in Tua that I'm going to have him as my one quarterback all year. So I know that I'm going to pick somebody up in free agency. Last year, guys like Derek Carr, Carson Wentz put up a lot of points from the waiver wire. There's going to be players like, you know, Matt Ryan right now is going really late or undrafted and has some great weapons. There's going to be quarterbacks available, and I will pick up a second one, but I will not do it in the draft.
You know, when we begin to look at the depth in these teams in the AFC East, one of the things that you look at Buffalo is the talent that they've assembled there. It's good blue-collar, hardworking talent to match up with elite elite skilled players at the quarterback and wide receiver position. There's a guy that in the FFPC drafts where I've been drafting that is going in the fifth round. I'm not sure where he is in the KFFSC. I imagine about the same. And I've always been a big supporter of him. I've always liked him. I said when he was a rookie, I said, let's get him off the waiver wire. Let's get him in the lineup as a starter. Fetch, that's Gabriel Davis. But Gabriel Davis, to me, in a fifth round, is too expensive. We're looking at a player that's caught 35 balls 2 years in a row. We're looking at a player that benefits from what all other defenses do with Stephon Diggs, which can leave Gabriel Davis wide open. And it's reminiscent of what we experienced with my favorite Raheem Mostert, who ran through Green Bay in a playoff game, much like Davis did in his playoff game last year with multiple touchdowns. Am I wrong about Davis? Are you going to spend that draft capital on him?
Not a fifth round. I think you're right. There's a lot of times where we'll have a playoff, just an explosion by a player based on scheme, based on a lot of different things in the game plan that happen. And if he's shown that he cannot do it, or not that he cannot do it, that he has not done it in the regular season, I think sometimes people jump over and like, you really need to look at the stats he's had over 16 games. They brought in a great wide receiver, knows this division, in Jameson Crowder. Mm-hmm. You know, I know Cole Beasley, we made fun of last year. With
did
his
we? I don't that. Believe we did. He just said.
But I think Jameson Crowder is going to step into that role and really help there. Emmanuel Sanders, I still believe, is there. So you got four wide receivers mm-hmm. plus Dawson Knox. So I do not see Gabriel Davis stepping up to get over 50 catches. I can see him at 47.
I don't think Sanders is there.
Plus Isaiah McKenzie is. Yeah. Isaiah McKenzie is. Yeah. And so it's just a big number of talented players, and you wonder which one is going to step up. I think Davis could hit. Look, if I'm drafting a receiver in the fifth round, I want a guy that has potential to catch 80 balls. And I just don't think that's
I think here. 50's more, 55 is where he's going to be.
And there's a lot of the running backs on this team that are good pass catchers as well. Justin, can you look at this backfield and try to figure it out? Is it Singletary, who played very, very well down the stretch last year? When given a bigger load, he responded. Is this the kind of guy you believe in, or do you think the mix – of these running backs will be something that will make it hard on fantasy drafters to decide who to put in the lineup?
Right now, I think Cook is going ahead of Singletary. He did in our two slow drafts. Mm. Not a huge amount.
They're very close.
But that makes sense. We're in a PPR league. Mm-hmm. So that's where the points are. And I think everyone feels like they have a good handle on what Singletary is going to provide, mm-hmm. which is something worth having. I think Singletary, where he's going right now at ADP, presents value. But there's the intrigue of the unknown and what James Cook could be. Mm-hmm. And that's attracting a lot of people. I think in the end, we're going to see Singletary probably be the better choice. No, I could be eating my words later, and that's fine. But right now, I think Singletary is a better value. But to jump back on Gabe Davis, right now in our two slow drafts, he went in the fourth round.
Mm.
So now we're talking about, you know, if we did an either or, you know, Courtland Sutton or Gabriel Davis. Mm-hmm. Allen Robinson or Gabriel Davis. I think the people that have been selecting Davis have been doing it in a go get your guy sort of way. Yes. And there's nothing wrong with that either, but he's not my guy. I like him. Fetch, I know you like him too, but not at the fourth round.
Where did Robert Woods of the Tennessee Titans go in this draft? And I think you can begin looking around the eighth round, perhaps.
I mean, you can look at Fetch's team in that first.
Seventh round and one.
Okay.
And then so, Fetch, you took him, is that right, in the seventh round as well. So
here's a player that's a seventh round draft pick that I think will catch more balls than Gabriel Davis. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about who's going to catch balls. I don't know who particularly will be catching them at New England this year. Fetch, I believe that we're looking. Yeah, Fetch is whispering a certain Ballard High School, University of Louisville player that he has held great affection for many, many years. Is that what you want to lead with? Your Devontae Parker is a number one target monster of the New England Patriots.
There's been good reports out of the camp that he has booked well. This team has been looking for a receiver to really step up outside and help Mac Jones. Mm-hmm. Got a solid tight end in Hunter Henry along with Jonnu over there, who never catches anything but plays solidly. Mm-hmm. I think this is a run-first team, though. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Damian Harris is what people are going to talk about with Ramadd Stevenson, you know, stealing some of the thunder.
A report, Justin, published today is that Ramondre Stevenson may be the number one back when it comes to carries there at New England. And we're beginning to see him in Darren Armani's fantasy mojo begin to jump ahead of Harris in some of the drafts. Do you have a preferred running back out of that backfield?
From what we saw last year, I do like Stevenson. I think he's a better pass catcher, and we just got a report that James White is still not, you know, ready to get on the practice field. And from what I've seen, Stevenson had more explosive plays last year, and Harris did fine, but it was just that. It was fine. And I think Stevenson in a PPR contest offers that upside that people like. And like Fetch kind of mentioned, they'll put Jonnu Smith on the field with Hunter Henry, and they'll put two tight ends out there, and he can have a lot of success that way. And that's one of the reasons why Devontae Parker is the receiver to have on that team, is because Parker's going to be on the field on the outside when they run two tight end sets. But ultimately, yeah, I think it's the inverse of what I said about Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I think it's Ramondre Stevenson that offers the value right now as the pass catcher. When earlier I said it was the other guy, but
a good pound the ball offense with a quarterback that's had some seasoning, that understands his role in the offense, that is willing to shut it down with pass attempts from time to time and support a heavy run game. Mac Jones has come a long, long way.
There's enough for both of them, though, for Harris and Stevens.
Yeah, I think that's it. Now, Hunter Henry, Fetch, you love your tight ends in a red zone. Hunter Henry, 8 touchdowns last year through the air. That's where the value was. And, yeah, Jonnu Smith inexplicably was unseen last year.
Well, Jonnu dealt with some injuries, but when you look at the receivers they had as well, we're talking about Tyreek Hill and Waddle not being those red zone targets. Devontae Parker is one of those red zone targets. He is one of those guys that can take passes away from the tight end position.
I agree. He's had one very good year at Miami, and he could replicate that, especially in this offense. You like this team, Fetch? Do you think New England raises any hell in this division?
Are we talking fantasy, or are we talking just
the
NFL?
Team. I said the team.
That they will make the playoffs at 10-7.
Wow. So that's, I think you take a successful team, you've got to have successful contribution from the players. And so this defense bodes well for a team that you want to add. So you just don't want to play them against the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, sure. All right. So that takes care of the AFC East as we see it. Did we miss anybody that you guys want to throw out there?
It doesn't matter. You're going to go so fast to the AFC West.
Okay. Well, we'll go to the AFC West. But first, before we do that, we'll talk a little bit of business. Anyone who listens to this podcast before Sunday night, we have 5 spots. Our first online live draft of previous onlines, as the fellows have talked about, have been the slow draft, of which we have others positioned there. In an announcement that's probably our biggest announcement of the week, is that we've extended the weekend. We'll be drafting through Sunday night at the casino for people that want to come in and draft all day Sunday night, get up, head back to work Monday morning. This is the place to do it, and we'll have a good group of drafts that will take place. We've got a big payback auction. The auction players have been asking for higher stakes, $1,000 buy-in auction. So if you're up for it, why not? These two gentlemen who have joined me here are unbeknownst to the fact that they will be running the auction that Sunday night, and you'll be glad to spend time with them. It makes it just even more fabulous. If you look at the mailer this week, you'll see my good friend J.R. Fenton pointing at a jersey number that was part of the Soul Patrol back when Willie Brown was with the then Oakland Raiders, now Las Vegas Raiders. We've got 24 days until Cincinnati, where you can find Justin McCord and Fetch there. We will try to separate Fetch and FBI, where no animus will be on display. Jim Cole is not coming. He'll be drafting safely from the Oregon Territory. So you'll have less daggers in the crowd. Fetch, I don't know how such a good guy can create so much controversy like you do.
The Ides of August.
You're such a really, really fantastic fellow and a supporter of the league. I don't understand it, but you know, if you want to compete with Justin McCord and Robbie Fetcher, the first place to do it this year is live in Cincinnati. We've got just a few spots left at the 6:30 position. We have some 11 o'clock spots, but I'm doubting that they will sell. So we'll probably call it a sellout when we fill up the 6:30 draft. Guys, what do you like about drafting in Cincinnati as opposed to drafting down here?
It's first live one for me, so it's always the excitement. Different people than we normally draft with from here in Louisville. So the Cincinnati, it's getting that fresh blood that hasn't been around for 20 years like we have.
Well, we've now been around in Cincinnati for a long time, and some of those guys that you draft against every year, you know. But I understand that. Justin, it's a different vibe up there.
You do have some Cincinnati homers there for sure.
Yeah.
But there's it's 1 week earlier on ADP.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big change in ADP from Cincinnati to the Louisville draft to the Vegas draft. Mm-hmm. You see some preseason games. Undoubtedly, there's going to be an injury that presents an opportunity. If you're a little ahead of the curve on picking up some sleepers, they're going to go a couple rounds earlier in Cincinnati or later in Cincinnati than they would in Louisville, and you can get some extra value there, and that's always a good deal.
That is a good deal. You know, I would like to thank everyone who has spread the word and been an ambassador of a league online in Cincinnati and in Louisville. You know, Fetch has brought a couple of guys into the league this year. C.Dot Harris, another one of the Fetch adversaries that likes discussing spin rate with Fetch, has done a good job in bringing people into the league. And, you know, your magnanimous personality, Justin, it just makes people want to come play.
I have no enemies.
The ones that you don't know. Unfortunately, you haven't had any recruiting, but you haven't run anyone off like Fetch has.
So we got a much sharper tongue in these things. He cuts a little deeper with these comments.
Who are we talking about?
Justin McCord.
Justin McCord's a comic genius. He's gonna hit us with one. You know, it is very late. We've now moved into early Saturday morning as we keep going. I don't know how much gas any of us have left in the tank.
Fetch has got plenty of gas.
Justin just needs a little more Jameson.
It's a shame.
That tongue kind of goes a little better.
You take the Jameson, I'll take the McKenzie.
We've got to mention to Jimmy Williams and Kevin Williamson that the bar is open tonight, but there's no takers.
You offered us water and tea.
We're saving up for the future. Guys, I don't think I want to do the AFC West. I would like to take it somewhere else. I'd like to talk a little bit about quarterbacks in this draft and how long we have waited in these two drafts to begin the quarterback situation. But look, Fetch, real quickly, the quarterback that you're trying to get to in the draft.
The quarterback I'm trying
to get. Hurry up, Fetch.
Aaron Rodgers.
Justin.
I think Brady is a good mid-round.
9 and 10. You heard it here, guys. Rodgers and Brady. We're going to sign off for tonight, and we'll be getting back with you a little later this week. Appreciate everyone listening. KFFSC.com. Let's get busy. There's Dre. If you haven't filled out your schedule yet, get to it now, please. Thank you very much. We'll get back to you guys real soon where we can get Justin and Fetch back aboard to share some more fantasy knowledge.
Hey. Ooh la la, are we